Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 3 Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
little white balls life.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, T-Bone. T-Bone, how are you doing, my good friend?
Doing good, doing good. It feels like December 26th right now. It's almost like it's all over. But still a lot of good golf months left. But in terms of pro golf, we don't really have anything until the Ryder Cup. So kind of a weird feeling that it's over this early. But I guess an okay major year. I don't know. We'll get more into it. But
yes, absolutely. Well, first off, we want to start off with congratulations to Brian Harman, champion golfer of the year. If you go back and run the take, T-Bone, I'm pretty sure both of us picked Brian Harman to win, so not a shock of any. No, I'm just kidding. The guy came out of nowhere, but I mean, he played some unbelievable golf, and especially on that Sunday when the weather conditions were terrible, he rose to the occasion. And so we're here. I'm going to talk all about it, break it all down, talk about the leaderboard, Rory McIlroy. It's another year gone with Rory McIlroy not winning a major. But to your point, kind of an interesting year in majors, starting off strong and then finishing up with Wyndham Clark and Brian Harman. I don't know. We're going to talk all about the state of golf post-major championship and then maybe even a little sneak preview for some current Ryder Cup standings as well. Before I dive into it, though, T-Bone, we got to show some love to our sponsors. First off, DrinkABuddy. Go to drinkabuddy.com. Use promo code 3UNDER. Drink a buddy. It's a pill you take with the last drink. Look, it's not the necessarily hangover cure, but it will help curb that hangover. Just makes you feel a little bit better, a little more sprite. You're not as sluggish in the morning. And especially if you got those morning tea times, Drink a Buddy is there to help you not miss tea times. T-Bone, I know you're a fan of Drink a Buddy.
I am. I actually didn't take my drinking buddy this weekend, and I was hurting. This probably isn't a great ad for the brand, because I played pretty well and had an interesting 18 holes with a familiar face on the pod, Mr. KJ, which we can maybe get into a bit. But I was really wishing I had my drinking buddy this weekend. First time I hadn't taken it in a while, and I could feel the difference. So get those orders in. It'll help you. It'll help your golf game, make you feel better.
That's right. DrinkABuddy.com, promo code 3UNDER. Testimonial itself from T-Bone, the man, the myth, the legend. Also, I want to give a shout out to Chip Golf Co. Hey, thank you to Randall for coming on the podcast last week. That was a really great interview. Good insight. What's it like starting a company? So if you have entrepreneurial aspirations, developing a product. If you want, we can dive into a little bit more. I think that's really interesting, kind of from a business perspective, but also kind of filling a need as well. I think in the marketplace is pretty interesting. So go to chipgolfco.com. That's chip with two P's, C-H-I-P-P golfco.com, and use promo code 3UNDERPAR. Get 10% off your order as well. Hold on. Still got mine here. Red, white, and blue. Stars and stripes, looks great. Hey, also one thing that's really cool. Yeah, one thing that's really cool is that it actually tells you which philanthropy that they're supporting as well. So when you're buying a glove, you get 10% off, and you're also supporting great causes. And if I click right here on Stars and Stripes, I believe that goes to, well, don't have it in front of me. But it does say on their mission statement, which ones they go to. So the Stars and Stripes goes to the Wounded Warrior Project. Pretty neat. Nice. Good stuff. So, yeah, want to say thank you again to Randall for coming on the pod last week.
Does my does my glove, the pins and aces, go to or blackjack? I've got a friend who I could give that to. Some gambling addicts out there. What is that?
According to the website, it says the glove benefits the National Council on Problem Gambling. The NCPG.
I guess I was kind of right.
You are correct. So they're not an official partner of NCGP, but the glove goes to that organization. So hey, buy a glove. You're helping T-Bone's friends.
Oh man, love to see it.
Yeah. Well, T-Bone, before we dive into the Open, I briefly want to talk about, I heard a story about you this week, and I called you out on it as well. T-Bone, it's like You called up the girl for the date in high school. You're really excited. You got dinner, you got a movie plan, and then she bails. Nothing. T-Bone, you set up a golf round with a potential client and he no-showed. Tell us about it.
Oh man, I thought you were going to talk about something else.
Nope.
I thought you were going to talk about my run with KJ, which we also probably need to get into. But yeah, I'll spare some of the details. I had a invited some potential customers out to the golf course. We had a tee time set up for Thursday, and I got a confirmation on Wednesday. Granted, I've never met this person. It was a, I would say, blind invite to a variety of people I was reaching out to in Houston, and got the confirmation on Wednesday, probably afternoon, even 8:20 tee time. I'm showing up late, but I'm getting there a few minutes before the tee time as usual, and go to check in. Ask the starter, has anyone else checked in? Nope, nothing. Remember, we also paid for the green fee, the foursome. So nothing. Text him, nothing. Call him, nothing. Send him another text. Like 30 minutes later, I say, hey, feel free to meet us on the back nine if you want. Nothing. So I end up getting, this was an 8:20 tee time. I get a call at 1:30 from the guy saying he was sick. So I'll give him a little bit of credit for calling me, but I think unless you're on your deathbed, you could at least give a text. Am I
Yeah.
right? I mean, it was I was at telling people about this, and one of the responses was, this is disgusting. But yeah,
Yeah.
that was a tough look.
You know, we're not going to say who it was or the company because, look, there's no reason to tarnish them. I just think it's hilarious. You got stood up. You got stood up on the golf course by a
Yeah.
prospect. It's also bad because you were paying for the round of golf. You invited him and you got the confirmation. It was even after work hours, right? If I'm not mistaken. It's
Yeah,
after work
no.
hours, you know, probably 15 hours before the tee time. You said it was at 8:20 in the morning tee time.
Yeah.
And he got, so he texted you after the round would have been over.
Yeah.
Yikes. That's not a good look.
And knowing their background, it wasn't a, these are golf guys too.
Yes.
They're not beginners from what I can tell. They are golf guys. That's why I invited them. And it's a tough look. It's a
Tough
tough
luck.
look.
Tough luck. Was your self-esteem hurt at all, or are you doing
Yeah.
okay?
Yeah, it was. I was disappointed having to,
Yeah.
so I thought I secured a pretty good meeting and having to walk back in the office with my tail between my legs. Helen, I just burned $250 on fire. It wasn't the best, but we did a little schmoozing and we basically got a rain check. So I think it's going to work
Okay.
out. But
Well, it sounds like they needed to do the schmoozing with you. They're the ones who
so
bailed.
another idea buddy gave me was, he said I should book a tee time at the nicest club you could think of in Houston, and then just don't show up on them. See how they like it.
Wow. No, you don't do the nicest club. You book a tee time at Herman Park. So they have to play a course worse than where you were playing.
Yeah, that could work.
Because
I
then,
like
if it's the
it.
nicest course in town, they're like, oh, okay, well, we still get to play a kick-ass course.
Yeah, well, maybe even like a private course, and then they're just not even able to get through the gate. Like River
Oh,
Oaks. Tell them like River
yeah.
Oaks.
Okay, we got a tee time here. I'm sorry, you're not on the list, sir. I don't see you.
Yeah. See how they like it.
Yeah. Well, also, T-Bone, very briefly here, you played with KJ. So, for those who are familiar for our new listenership, we are 3 under par pod. 3 under originally was three. Well, also think about it. Take 2 seconds. What is 3 under generally? You're welcome. We had a third guy, and we went through a 2 year hiatus for pretty much no reason. And our third guy, he's interested in coming back. He hasn't completely shut it off, but T-Bone got to play golf with him, which I do
I
want to
think we're
say.
much overdue. I've been getting a little grief. We're much overdue for giving this background. So continue on.
Well, I want to give a shout out to KJ because KJ got engaged recently. So KJ, want to say from 300 Part Pod, congratulations, brother. Super happy for you. All right, you're up.
I hadn't seen KJ in a while. I don't think either one of us have, and it was good to see him. And the guy golfs more than anyone, like professional golfers. I think he golfs more than them. But
Yes.
had a very interesting round. And KJ was gonna come on to the pod today, but had something come up. But I started off par, birdie, par, birdie, birdie, birdie. 4 under through six.
What? Dude, are you serious?
Yes.
Hold on. Okay, so yeah, good birdie on two, standard. Three is a tough one. And then you went, wow, that's a good stretch. That's a really good stretch. That's Sterling,
So,
right?
Sterling. So,
Okay.
I will mention that you made a comment about how they're playing from the white tees now.
Oh,
It was
yes.
short. It was short. I'll acknowledge
Thank
that.
you. Thank
It
you.
was short. But four birdies in six holes, I don't care where you're playing from. That's something special is happening. So, I make
I
so
agree.
Kyle wanted to come onto the pod because he did not agree with my tactics or my strategy from the rest of the day. So I made on five. I'm 3 under through five, and I go, I gotta call out the elephant in the room. I'm 3 under through five.
What? That's like the pitcher calling himself on a no-hitter.
I want to talk about these things. I feel like if I'm bottling it up and not talking to anyone, it's almost more pressure on me. So I'm more of the let's go with the flow. Let's see what happens. Bomb my drive on six, hit it right of the green, get up and down, make birdie again. So
Wow.
I'm 4 under through six at this point. And I'd already acknowledged it, and everyone knows what I'm at this point. And then I kind of make a nervous bogey on 7, 8, rally back, birdie on nine.
Okay.
That's a 33 on the front, five birdies on the front nine.
Wow. That's solid, T-Bone.
So it could have been a very special day, and the wheels just came off.
I heard you did not break par.
I didn't. I
Oh,
didn't.
man.
It started off hard double. And then I got it back together. So I was 1 under, made another bogey, parred a few, and I was going into 18, absolutely blister a tee shot with a driving iron. Got about 110 in, and the pin's about two paces off the front of the green. Just catch a little heavy, dunked it in the water.
Oh no.
And just the most disappointing 74 I've ever fired in my life.
Wow. When was the last time you
But
broke 75 too? Like,
not
I feel like
unheard.
it's pretty recent though, right? You've been saying you've been playing pretty well.
I've been playing a little bit better golf. I mean, going under 75 is about as good as it gets for me now. So this was a good round, but it was disappointing.
It leaves you
It
wanting
was
more.
very disappointing. What?
It leaves you wanting more, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. So I've got the maybe not as a fan, but as a player, I've got the golf bug bad right now. And it feels like we're getting there. The game's getting there. So,
Which I need to text you in Tolson. I think we can get a date on the calendar here soon, like after work, something
love
like
it.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah. We
I'll
haven't
let you
played
know.
together in forever either. So, yeah, need to, anyways, a humble brag, but I was proud of this round and equally as disappointed in this round because it could have been special. But
Yeah.
what are you going to do?
You know, golf will do that to you, though. That's one of the reasons why we love the game. Also, one of the reasons why we hate the game. You know, one of those things, whenever I play, sometimes I just have to, like, if I miss a simple putt or something, I'm like, golf is fun. Golf is fun. I promise golf is fun. More talking to myself on that. It's a joke that kind of lands. You got to be there.
Yeah.
But yeah, 74, though, that's a good round. Considering it, so we went 33-41.
Yeah.
Oh, Oh man.
Devlon 18.
Yeah. Oh well. Did you beat
So
KJ?
I didn't.
Yikes.
Thank you, 3 Jacked 18 for a 71. You played good.
Well, it's because he plays from the whites every time. Dude, seriously, that course can be tough from the tips, but it is so short from the whites. You just hit over all the trouble.
Yeah. No, it wasn't bad. I mean, it, or it wasn't. I felt like Bubba Watson out there on some holes. A lot of wedges. But there's also some kind of tough holes out there. More the back nine's way harder. But
Agreed.
anyways, maybe we jump into the open from here.
Champion
Enough
golfer of the
about
year,
me.
Brian Harman, Royal Liverpool. A pretty good week, I would say. There was a lot of anticipation going into this week. Who's gonna come out on top? Is Brooks gonna win? Is Rory gonna break his major drought? And then all of a sudden, Brian Harman just from the clouds comes out of nowhere. I mean, but I'll tell you what, he put on an absolute clinic. He went 67, 65, 69, and then 70 again on those tough conditions on Sunday when it was absolutely raining. I think what really set him apart, T-Bone, I'm looking at the scores here, it's got to be the second round. The second round when he shot 74, that's what gave him that 4 or 5 shot cushion.
Did you say
And then he just,
74?
he shot 65 on round two.
So 100% agree. I didn't do my golf journalistic homework this weekend. I'd watched a lot of Sunday, but the one thing I did watch was him on Friday. The scores were going up, and he just bulldogged it. No pun intended, Georgia Bulldog. But the dude made eagle on 18 for a 65 and was like really seriously separating himself from the field. And I was thinking this could be a special week for him because it felt different that putt he made. I feel like Brian Harman is always in contention at the Players Championship Thursday, Friday. I don't know. I always see him and he fades away. So I was kind of expecting that, but that finishing hole on Friday was special. So yeah, that
Yeah, I mean, look, if you let's say you take him out of the equation, that's a really good leaderboard. He ended up winning by 6 shots, but second place at -7 was Tom Kim, Seb Straka, Jason Day, John Rahm, Emiliano Grillo, Rory McIlroy, Cameron Young, Max Homa, these guys, and Tommy Fleetwood. Like these all guys are 2 or 3 shots within each other. It's just Brian Harman separated himself.
So,
He got that dog in him. Just again, it's not out of nowhere though. That's what's weird. But it feels like it. It's very strange.
he's been on the PGA Tour for like 16 years, which is extremely impressive. It is pretty much out of nowhere. I mean, everyone who follows the PGA Tour knows who he is and
Right.
has followed him to an extent, but I think
Like
this
we all
was,
know who he is, but
yeah. What was honestly, I'm happy for him and he just an absolute dominating performance, but it was almost going into Sunday. I was thinking this was going to be a bummer of a tournament, no matter how it turns out. If he runs away with the field, runs away from the field, I'm going to be bored. If he collapses, it's such a big of a collapse that I'm actually going to feel bad for him. I wouldn't really like to see that happen. So it was almost like I don't like either outcome of what's going to happen going into Sunday. And
Yeah.
I always prefer drama like everyone does on 18, but not someone who's just bleeding away a 5 to 7 shot lead. That's when it gets like painful. You don't
Right.
really root against anyone. So honestly, kind of a bummer of how it wrapped up, but I am happy for him and he deserved it.
No, for sure. It's felt like a bit of a lackluster finish to the major championship season. So let's talk about this for a second. The first two winners, John Rahm, the Masters, Brooks Koepka, the PGA. And we're just like, all right, like these are some big names. Scottie Scheffler is going to win one this year, and like Rory McIlroy. Like if those two guys won, like I think the golf gods would be shining down from the heavens. Instead, you got Wyndham Clark and Brian Harman, which all due respect, like we know Wyndham Clark is a very good golfer. And same with Brian Harman. To your point, he's been on tour for a long time. He's only had three PGA Tour wins, though. His two others leading up to this were the John Deere in 2014, and then the Wells Fargo 20. It says the 2013-14 season, so I don't know which part that is, but around those times. So he hasn't won in six years or so. I mean, yeah, I saw the funny GIF. It's like the horse that's drawn by a kid, and the back of the horse starts off great, but as it goes to the front of the horse, it becomes more of like a pencil drawing. That's what it felt like with these two major championship winners at the beginning of the season, and then Wyndham Clark and Brian Harman. Yeah, it's not a dud. Look, it's the Open Championship. It's the oldest major in golf. It's definitely not a dud, but it didn't have that excitement to your point.
I actually we'll say it was kind of a dud, and I've got a hypothetical for you.
Okay.
Which was the bigger dud of a British Open? Ben Curtis or Brian Harman?
And how so, in terms of the winner or how he won? Because Ben Curtis, that was a close championship, if I remember correctly.
I think it was, but I would argue maybe a little bit less of a golfer than Brian
Right.
Harman was.
But
I
look,
just think
what
the
has Ben
year.
Curtis done? He didn't do anything before. He hasn't done anything since.
I mean, I think we're going to say the same about Brian Harman when it's all said and done.
But he's been
Granted,
on tour for 17 years.
he had a good amateur career too, but I
Or
think when
13,
it's all
however,
said
yeah.
and done, these British Opens are going to be very comparable. It's like that guy won that year.
So the 2023 Open Championship is when he won. Let's see. Oh my gosh. Where's the stupid leaderboard? It was Thomas Bjorn and Vijay Singh finished second. Davis Love the third, and Tiger Woods finished T4
What
right
was that,
behind
like
him.
05?
03.
03.
Yeah. So, okay, I see where you're going in terms of like name recognition. Is that right? Kind of what you're going for there?
Yeah.
Okay. So Brian Harman joined the PGA Tour in 2012. So 11 years. He's been on tour for 11 years. He played on the Walker Cup against Tommy Fleetwood back in like 2007 when he was at the University of Georgia. So all those pictures started floating around on social media. Really funny. But Brian Harman, not a big guy, 5'7", but he's just a steady guy. That got hot
So
at the right time.
you just reminded me of something. The silver lining of this win is it's gonna put the distance, the length, shortening of the golf ball, all that stuff, it's gonna put it to rest for a little bit. Because we've been talking about bombers win majors, you gotta hit it long to win, blah, blah, blah. We finally stepped away from a bomber winning. The guy just dissected the course, hit
Yeah.
his little. Honestly, there were some drives where it looked like it barely made it to the fairway. Like he carried it maybe 5 to 10 yards in the fairway. And that's a nice change of pace. I mean, you had a guy that just was strategic, straight, and made putts. You didn't have the bombers.
Yeah.
And if you had a bomber win this, we'd go back to the distance debate. And now no one's talking about that because we had the short driver win. So that's a silver lining
That's
from this win.
really interesting you say that, T-Bone. It kind of makes me think. Bombers obviously have an advantage on every course, but this is links style golf. This isn't your traditional US Open or American golf course. I think to your point, links golf really puts a premium on hitting fairways and putting well. And to your point, navigating a golf course, he was hitting it with such precision, being on the right side of the hole, not short-sighting yourself, avoiding the pot bunkers, because those bunkers there are a legit penalty shot if you're in the wrong place. Not like here in the States where it's an minor inconvenience for these pros. And even sometimes it's better because then they can get the club or the ball, the club on the face easier with clip contact. So that's really interesting. I think
Yeah.
maybe that opens up the British Open to more strategic golfers versus your pure bombers. I hadn't thought about
Yeah.
that before.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, again, let's just always go back to the most important thing in golf. The dude rolled the rock. What was it, 46 out of 47 within 10 feet?
I think it was 58 out of 59 when it was all
And
said and done.
second, I want to say second fewest putts in a British Open of all time
Correct.
since they've the Statcast era. When I was watching it on Sunday early on, you know, I was maybe hoping for people to oh, we got to get to that in a second. I was hoping for people to make a charge here and there. No one could
No
make a
one.
putt.
Nope.
Rom, Rory, Sepp Straka made a few. Fleetwood couldn't buy one. I mean, no one was making anything. He would take a step back and then drain a 20-footer. It was incredible. But yes, we got to address this because this was one of the more ruthless things I've ever seen on a telecast.
I
That
think the
was
broadcast,
ruthless.
it was. I think the broadcast got so bored, they started doing the waggle counter on Brian Harman. Look, he's got a 5-6 shot lead with 4 holes left to play. Or they started it early in the broadcast, but oh my gosh, the waggle, the waggle. It put Jason Duffner to the shame.
I thought one of the ones I saw was like 13. And I thought that was bad. And I saw one that was like got up to 20. And I was like,
Wow.
God, this is ridiculous, but it is so disrespectful to be putting this. I mean, that actually made me kind of mad, but I was also mad at Harmon because I was so annoying. But again, like I think that was just kind of his mindset the whole just felt like that's who he was the whole round. Like, fuck all of y'all. I'm gonna win and do what I want. No one's gonna cheer for me. I don't care. I'm winning this. Like,
It
but I thought that was just ruthless.
was. To your point, though, he won. So who cares? It was, yeah, I think the whole thing was maddening. The broadcast doing it, Brian Harman doing it himself. I just wanted to hit the dadgum thing, and then G pokes it out there 260, but it's right in the middle of the fairway. Unbelievable. Pretty remarkable. So, to the point about the waggle, I do have a question from loyal listener Garza. The question is, if you win majors, are you allowed 13 waggles per stroke? So, for example, if Cantlay won a major every 3 years and two tournaments a year, would you be okay with slow play?
I don't think I fully understand the question.
So, if his question was, if you win majors, are you allowed 13 waggles per stroke? So pretty much, like, if you win majors, can you play really slow and get away with it?
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't think he was necessarily that slow, other than the waggles, but I guess that is a lot of time. So, I mean, you saw how pissed people got at Cantlay
Yeah.
at the Masters. He's kind of
Seriously.
had the target on his back ever since. And I think if he would have won, people would have been pissed about it. So, yeah, I mean, I guess if you can back it up as a golfer, you don't care, but as a fan, you're always going to have a target on your back. The golfer's always going to have a target on their back from the fans.
Yeah, I think it's the slow play thing is one thing you never want to be tagged with as a golfer, because I feel like for us as a fans watching the broadcast, it doesn't really matter to me because I'm what they're cutting the shots here or there. It's hard for me to get a pace of how fast they're playing. Because even before they've gotten really strategic with Cantlay, they cut to him right before he hits the shot. They don't necessarily show his entire pre-shot routine anymore. Or it's either that or they'll record it and then go back to it. So, yeah, no, I think it's a really interesting question. Winning solves a lot of problems. Let's put it that way. If you win, then nobody talks about, oh, he's a slow player. They just say you won the Masters. They don't say how long your round was. But yeah, I thought of, yeah, the waggle counter, man. We just had to talk about that for a sec. That was unbelievable.
I guess since we're the Rory fan club boys,
Man,
we want to
tough.
touch Rory for a minute.
Yeah, we got 9 minutes left here. So yeah, let's talk Rory briefly and then kind of maybe give a brief Ryder Cup standings. Kind of situation, what it could be potentially looking at. But look, T-Bone, it's another year, another gone. Rory McIlroy does not win another major. Second in the US Open, top five or top six here in the British Open. T-Bone, that puts him at 10 years now. that he has not won a major championship. Going in the next year, it will be a decade. That's a really long time. That is shocking to everybody. It's not a lost year because he was in contention, but man, it hurts. It hurts.
Yeah, same shit, different year. I mean, these
Yeah.
Sundays where rooting for Rory, where he's got no chance, but he's trying and he's kind of close. I mean, it's pretty classic, unfortunately. But again, being optimistic, he still has a lot of time left and he's
Yeah.
one of the best players in the world. So we'll see what happens. It was disappointing. But, again, he just couldn't buy a putt. And he was honestly too far back. It was never going to happen this week.
I
But
know he like
disappointing.
mounted a charge for what 300 through six on Sunday, and you're like, oh boy, here we go, heating up,
Yeah.
and then fizzle out, makes a bogey on 10 or whatever it was, and just
Yeah.
yeah, couldn't keep it going from there. It just
See,
hurts.
Rory shot 33 on the front, couldn't hold it together. Just
Yeah.
happens to us, you
Yeah, we're
know?
practically the same player. I will say this, and you can put this on record. I'm not going to pick Rory McIlroy for another major until he wins. I'm not ready to get broken again. I'm not ready to have my heart broken like that. Look, I will ride or die for Spieth, though. Spieth, whenever he's in contention, insert Michael Scott gif. There's no doubt about it. I'm ready to get hurt again. I'm done with Rory. I can't do it. Give me Spieth. I will die on the hill with Spieth for some reason. Don't ask me why. I don't know. I think to your point, Scott, you said it before, he is living the dream that we thought and hoped that we would live. But
Yeah.
I'm out. I'm not obviously not out on Rory McIlroy, like as a person, as a golfer. He won the Scottish Open the week before. That's why I didn't pick him, because he won the week before. It's so hard to win back to back. I'm out on him winning another major until he does it. I just
Yeah.
can't do it anymore.
I fell into the trap a wee bit too hard this year. I think I picked them for every major. There's a I'll give credit to another podcast, No Laying Up. They always make the joke that who's throwing the Rory party, and they always talk about how they bought all the cake and they bought all the decorations, and then like a
No.
storm came in, wiped it away. So
Oh.
yeah, I mean, Masters, I mean, someone needs to slap me if I pick him for the Masters next year. That is going to be the storyline for 6 months. 10 years since Rory's last major can complete the Grand Slam heading into the Augusta. I mean, that is going to be so damn annoying. Just start the headlines now, honestly. But yeah, no, I agree. I can't fall into this trap.
So for all the listenership out there, I'm looking at you, Ingram. I'm looking at you, Tomas. I'm looking at you, everybody else who listens, who are boys with T-Bone. If he picks Rory for the Masters in Tulsa, if he picks Rory for the Masters next year, you have permission to slap bet. It's a slap bet. You have
Shit,
it
I don't
here.
like that. But fair enough.
Yeah. Well, T-Bone, 5 minutes here, very briefly. And it's not me, and we'll do a deeper dive on the Ryder Cup teams as we get close to the Ryder Cup. It's that last week in September. September 29th, 30th, and October 1st is the week in Rome, Italy. There's just one really interesting point here. So top six get the automatic onto the team, and then there's six more picks after that. It's more the picks that I'm curious about, and one person in particular is Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas shooting an 81 again on Thursday at the Open. I think he followed up with a 73, if I'm not mistaken. He missed the cut. He did not have a good year this year. Plain and simple. Justin Thomas did not play very well, which was strange considering he won a major last year. Let's not forget that. And he has also been a heart and soul of the Ryder Cup teams. We're going to talk a lot about this again the closer we get to it. But on the outside looking in, Zach Johnson, there's a lot of pressure to pick other players. Guys like Colin Morikawa, Sam Burns. Sam Burns might have a better argument right now in terms of this year's play. But T-Bone, gut reaction right now, which Justin Thomas, he's playing in the Rocket Mortgage. He just committed today, if I'm not mistaken, to the last tournament of the year. I think it's the Wyndham. I think he's trying to relieve that pressure off Zach Johnson. But T-Bone does, as of right now, does JT deserve to be on the Ryder Cup?
Oh man, I was worried you're gonna ask me that. I think it's a
Yeah.
coin toss. I think it's a coin toss. I mean, I think you gotta kind of go. I kind of lean towards no.
Wow.
I think with the Ryder Cup, it's tough because you love the veterans, but I'd almost favor momentum, especially when he's been playing this bad. So I think, I mean, there's so many guys that you could argue, like Ricky Fowler, Wyndham Clark. I mean, a lot of these
Yeah.
guys are going to be probably neck and neck,
Ryan
and they've
Harmon.
been playing better all year. But I mean, the experience of a Ryder Cup is really important. So
Right.
I think you
Well,
could
what's
go either way.
interesting, if at the beginning of the season, if you had told me that Wyndham Clark and Brian Harmon would be automatically in, not even picks. Like if you would have told me Wyndham Clark would be a pick, I
Are
could
they
understand that.
automatically in?
They're automatically in as of this point right now. Brian Harmon winning the Open Championship all but guaranteed him a spot on the Ryder Cup team. So now on
Wow.
the outside looking in, this is automatic. Or on the outside is Max Homa, Cam Young, Jordan Spieth, Keegan Bradley, Colin Morikawa, Ricky Fowler, Sam Burns, Justin Thomas, a few other people with Tony Finau. Like those are
Is
some studs, man.
Brooks guaranteed?
Brooks is guaranteed right now, but to your point, so to that point, Dustin Johnson's on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting time right now, because we're running out of time, unfortunately. But maybe we'll do this next week, T-Bone, or
Yep.
2 weeks later. Maybe a
Yeah.
pros and cons. Does JT to be on the list? Who would you pick if you were Zach Johnson to be on that roster? But let's not forget, JT played really well 4 years ago when it was in France. Pretty much the only American who did well. We haven't won a Ryder Cup in Europe since like 1994, so it's time. You need
Yeah.
your dogs. You need that experience. But we'll
Yep.
see what happens.
Love it.
Do I think that about wraps it up here for this episode of the 300 Part Pod? We appreciate you, the listenership, for sticking with us. Let us know what your thoughts were of the Open Championship, Brian Harman winning, or any other headlines you think we missed. Let us know in the comment section below or send us an email. All of our contact info is in the description below. Follow us on the social media at 300 Part Pod, the number 300 Part Pod on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, wherever. We're there. Thanks to our sponsors, drinkabuddy.com, promo code 3under, and then you can go to chipgolfco.com, promo code 3under par for 10% off your orders. If you live in the Hill Country, go check out Waterloo Turf, because Waterloo Turf turfing, we did it to our yard. It's the best. T-Bone's jealous because it is awesome. So contact Lance at Waterloo Turf, and then T-Bone, show some love to the Paisley
Paisley
House.
House. Paisley House. Looking to do any kind of decorations, home furniture, you name it. Joni's got it. Head over to Paisley House and tell her 300 sent you.
There we go. Hey, we appreciate you, the listenership, again. This podcast is so much fun to do. Couldn't happen without you, the listenership, to help grow this podcast. Great week. Major championship season is officially over. We're close to the playoffs and the Ryder Cup. It's going to be electric here. And congratulations again to Brian Harman, your championship golfer of the year. Thank you for listening to 300 Part Pod. I'm Scott for T-Bone, and remember,
Little white balls like.